This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Good Sunday morning and welcome back to the Sunday Spin. Well, last week, Chicago hit another grim milestone, exceeding 700 homicides for the first time in nearly two decades, and just seems like a year of relentless violence. And joining me on the phone is former Chicago Police Department Superintendent Gary McCarthy. Gary, thank you for getting up with me this morning.
Oh, good morning, Rick. And I was already up. I have a newborn at home. Don't forget that.
I was going to say congratulations, and I was wondering if your sleeping habits have been changing.
Yeah, I did a late one, and my wife gets up and does the early one, so she relieved me this morning. I got a couple of hours sleep, so I'm basically fresh as a daisy, as fresh as you could be with a seven-week-old at home. Right now.
Well, again, congratulations.
Thank you. It's really great.
I know you made some of the rounds of some of the local TV shows on Friday.
Yeah.
And I watched your appearance on Channel 9, and what struck me most was you kept saying, where is the outrage? Where is the outrage?
Yeah, we can't take this as a new normal, and I don't see it happening. You know, I hearken back to, you know, a couple of years into my tenure, we got the murder number down to 1965 lows in this city. We did it back-to-back years in 2013 and 2014. And, you know, crime reduction is a process, and it takes some time. And it was underway, yet the entire time I felt enormous stress and pressure, because even though it was almost 90% lower than it is today, there was relentless pressure from the community, from elected officials, from the media, to get those numbers lower and lower and lower. It was better, but it wasn't good, and it was nowhere near good enough. And it's just mind-boggling to me that people are kind of shrugging their shoulders. You know, the number 700 people, they didn't report it for 2 days in the press. I don't think, at least I caught it 2 days later when somebody said, you know, Wednesday morning or Tuesday morning, we actually hit the 700 number. Where, you know, as far as I recall, there was a lead up to every number we hit, whether it was 100, 200, or 250, or whatever the case was. And I'm wondering what has changed. We can't accept this as the new normal, because it's not normal, and it's not okay, and it doesn't have to be this way.
Well, what do you think has changed?
You know, a lot has changed, an awful lot has changed, but a lot has stayed the same. One of the things that I always used to talk about is the fact that the Chicago Police Department used to be an overly politicized organization. Well, I feel that it's gone right back to that. The political soup that has been created in the last couple of years around policing at the behest of saving black lives is causing black lives to be lost. That's what's happening. And there's a lot of accountability to go around for this. It goes from the Department of Justice to community leaders to quote-unquote community leaders. I always like to say that, because some are self-appointed and, in my book, are really snake oil salesmen and don't necessarily represent the community.
You want to name some names?
Nah, I'm never going to do that.
Okay.
But you know what I'm talking about.
I know what
There's
you're talking about.
Really
sure.
Don't. Yeah, yeah. So to elected officials, and this goes top to bottom. Because, you know, people want to try and legislate policing. Politics is a cancer in policing. It needs to be about performance. And the thing that I always talk about, that people always ask me about, is why is New York doing so well? Why is it that when Chicago had the worst month ever, or in God knows how long, a couple of months ago in October, New York was touting that they had the lowest crime month ever on record? The reason is they didn't reverse course. And I want to take you back to the fact that New York had one of the first really high-profile deaths of African-American young men in Eric Garner.
Right.
And by the way, Rick, I also have to put the media into this. And Eric Garner is a case that really highlights the example. Eric Garner, as you recall, is the, quote, illegal chokehold death. And just to be clear, the chokehold was not illegal. It was against policy. It was not against the law. And he did not die from the chokehold. He died from compression from officers sitting on his back. So, but try and put that genie back in the bottle, because it's been sensationalized that it was an illegal chokehold death. And all of this has created an atmosphere of anti-police sentiment in this country that is not doing what we want it to do. And the other thing is this. You know, the police need to do better, period. I have to say that. It's my opinion. If you watch my City Club speech a while back, I said that I don't believe that really any, almost without exception, none of these young black men needed to die that we see the videos of. Not Laquan McDonald, not Eric Garner, not Michael Brown. None of them needed to die. With better tactics, better training, and better supervision.
Well, and that's
having said that,
I don't mean to interrupt, but I do. I mean, there is an accountability factor. I mean,
absolutely, and there is accountability. You know, Jason Van Dyke is charged with murder first degree. He's charged with murder first degree. Police shootings in the city of Chicago are less than half of 1% of the shootings. I want you to think about that. That means that 99.6% of the shootings in the city of Chicago do not involve the police. And that's not even saying that they're all unjustified. You know, how many are unjustified out of those? There's going to be a couple where officers have to be held accountable for either violations of policy or violations of the law. And there is accountability. But at the end of the day, what we're doing is that, you know, the police are not going to fix the ills of this society. We're looking at social and economic and class issues that are causing outrage. And if we keep pointing at the police and saying, let's fix police-community relations, it's not going to fix what's wrong in society. And in 5 years, we'll be having the same conversation.
Well, when we talk about accountability, and you mentioned about justifiable versus non-justifiable, I mean, certainly we had the controversy with the fact of IPRA and the fact that, for the most part, they didn't find any police-involved shooting as unjustified.
And Rick, if you know the story, back in 2012, I tried to change the disciplinary system in the Chicago Police Department because it was one of the most dysfunctional that you can imagine. But here's the problem. Here's the problem, and this is where the politics comes in. If you listen to communities around the country, they want civilian oversight of police departments. Well, we have the police board in Chicago that is the final determiner of disciplinary matters, not the police superintendent. If you listen to communities around the country, they want outside agencies investigating shootings in the city of Chicago. Well, here in Chicago, we had IPRA. Now we have a different board. It's the same idea. Around this country, people want federal investigations into police shootings. Well, in the Laquan McDonald case, we still don't know the results of the federal grand jury that was impaneled. Does anybody even remember that the feds are investigating the Laquan McDonald case? And when you don't like the results, there's outrage. This is what people wanted. This is what we have in Chicago. But if we don't like the results, then there's outrage. So, you know, that's about politics.
And trying to please what people want.
Exactly. And it may not be what's best to do. Just like another example that I could give you is, In the very short term, all that investigation, the internal investigation by the inspector general into the officer's actions at the scene of the Laquan McDonald murder was administrative. He made recommendations to fire 10 officers to Eddie Johnson. Never in my 35 year of policing have I ever heard of an administrative case moving forward while a criminal or civil case is still underway, because you don't want to jeopardize it. Those 10 officers that the IG has now determined were not less than truthful or problematic with what they said, they're witnesses to a murder first degree prosecution that cannot testify at trial because their testimony has been completely impeached. You don't jeopardize a criminal case to please the public to take severe actions against officers if it's going to jeopardize that case. Just think about that. If Van Dyck is not convicted, that's going to be one of the major reasons right there. And we did it. And when I say we, I'm talking about the people, right? The politics dictated that something had to be done. So we changed the policy or overrode the policy, and the results are not going to be what people want.
We're speaking with former Chicago Police Superintendent Gary McCarthy. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Then an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight.
Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue. Joining me on the phone is former Chicago Police Superintendent Gary McCarthy. Gary, the idea of the politicalization of policing, I mean, there is kind of a fine line. You're saying it's just been crossed back over again, isn't it? I mean, politics is going to be endemic as part of a city function.
Yes, but it doesn't have to be to the degree that it is here. And you see, I have an experience, as you know. I wasn't born and raised in Chicago. It's my home now. I fell in love with the city the moment I got here. My daughter is here. I got remarried here, and now I have a son to raise here. So I want to see the city succeed. But it's my experience in the past, coming up through the NYPD, that we eliminated politics to the degree that it could be eliminated. It didn't affect the rank and file. The leadership of the department had to deal with it. I mean, I was deputy commissioner of operations for the NYPD and had to run crime strategy for New York for 7 years. And I worked under Rudy Giuliani. I worked under Mike Bloomberg. And I worked for Ray Kelly, Howard Schaefer, and a whole bunch of other police commissioners. But the performance of the department and the performance of the individuals was way more important than the politics. And, you know, somebody even as tough as Rudy Giuliani is, he would always defer to performance and what was practical to get things done as far as reducing crime and saving lives rather than kowtowing to the politics. And we can't do that. Not if you expect results, right? Because if you want results, then you look at performance. If you want politics, then you don't look at performance. And that's what's happening here. And I used to talk about the fact that Chicago is overly politicized. It's back to being overly politicized. Decisions are being made that affect that department that are happening outside the department on 100 different levels. And the results are tragic. You know, I got fired on December 1st of last year, and there have been 737 people murdered since then. 737, which is a almost 90% increase from 2 years ago. That's outrageous. People are literally dying because of the actions that we're taking, by misdiagnosing a problem, by pointing at the police and saying that this is the problem that's happening in society. We're investigating police, not criminals now. And the results are that people are dying. It's not working. And I feel like sometimes I'm screaming into a vacuum when I say this. But fortunately, you know, people still reach out to me when these things happen, because they're interested in my perspective, because it's different than what we're accustomed to here in Chicago.
So what should we be doing that we're not doing?
Well, first of all, if you're going to solve any problem, you have to first properly
identify it.
Yeah, and the police are not the problem in society today, simply put. And I'm overstating it. There are obviously issues in policing, and police leadership is addressing it moving forward. The police leadership in this country is not your grandfather's police chief, where, you know, they were tribal leaders and, you know, they're going to rule the roost with an iron fist. No, they're more like executives of Fortune 500 companies today. They're well-educated. They share best practices. You know, we participated in the president's 21st Century Task Force on Policing. And they took 92% of what we do and made them recommendations for police departments across the country. Yet the Department of Justice comes here to investigate our patterns and practices, when they were actually bringing people here to look at what it is we were doing. This is completely political. We know how to reduce crime. We know how to work with the community and policing, but it's being dictated by elected officials. It's being dictated by the Department of Justice, and they're using standards that are beyond the pale of what the Supreme Court has decided. So this is affecting policing in a hundred different ways. We should go back to what we were doing, if it was working, and eliminate the things that were not working. But that's not what has happened. We've completely reversed field. And that's why Los Angeles and New York have less murders combined than Chicago right now, because they have not reversed field. They've stayed with those best practices. They've moved forward with it. And it's working.
As you talk about the politicalization affecting policing, how much of that is just because, let's face it, you became the fall guy with Laquan McDonald?
Well, I think that was part of the politics of the scenario. You know, people always, I was recently asked, why were you fired? And I said, you know what? I was never actually really given a reason. You know, it's a step that, you know, right after it happened with me, it happened with a friend of mine, Greg Sir, who's police chief out in San Francisco. Same thing, police-related shooting, police chief gets fired. That's probably a tried-and-true practice in the past. You cut off the heads below you to try and save yourself. Maybe they do that in private industry also. I've never really worked in private industry until the last year. But that's not going to solve anything. You know, one of the things that I say, and it may sound offensive to some people, but when you negotiate with terrorists, you empower your enemy. And that's why we don't do it in this country. And sometimes you have to stand up and say, look, this is what happened. This is what we're going to do. And it's the right thing to do. It's not the politically expedient thing to do. And unfortunately, you know, I think that that action that was taken, my firing, was the first in a huge political deck of cards that has just come crumbling down on the department, and it's destroying it.
That's Chicago, former Chicago Police Superintendent Gary McCarthy. Gary, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
It's a pleasure, Rick. Thanks very much. It's almost cathartic to have these conversations, but I just need to see something happen about it.
Well, I appreciate your thoughts, and we'll have you back on anytime. Thank you so much.
Sounds great. Thanks, Rick. Bye.
You're listening to The Sunday Spin on WGN.